they have so many permutations and combinations they can throw out there on the court that they're not gelling. It's not working. By the end of the season, it will. Mark my words, Boston is going to be a force to be reckoned with. But the depth of Toronto, something that could come into play Thursday, as well as in a couple weeks when they rematch at Oracle. The real question is whether or not it matters in the playoffs. We hear this time and time again. Well, the Warriors are top heavy. They got these great stars, but the bench is where it's questionable. Do I still need to pay attention to that? Do I still need to care about the bench for any reason outside of an injury to a star? Because the reality of the situation is the bench guys aren't getting 25 or 30 minutes. We saw it in the Houston series. You check out for a couple minutes, and then your rear end is right back in there playing. And you're giving the team 38, 39, 40 minutes every single night. How many minutes was Chris Paul playing when he was healthy? James Harden, Steph, KD, Draymond, Clay. Like, it's not like in the playoffs there are going to be so many bench minutes. Now, granted, if the two teams are so close, those four or five bench minutes at the beginning of the second quarter could be the difference. But we've heard this every year that the bench is a problem for the Warriors. It's never actually been that big of a problem, has it?
It has at times. It's reared its ugly head, and that's been mainly when Andre Iguodala hasn't been available. And I think if you look at this year's edition of the Golden State Warriors and you look at Andre Iguodala, a year older, he's not even shooting the ball anymore. He's given up wide open looks. He's passing it. Sean Livingston has had some health problems this year as well. So I think as you get into May and into June, you're going to need some bench minutes. And you look at Toronto's bench, it's a much better second unit than what Golden State has. So I think it does make an impact because you're not going to play Clay, KD, Steph, and Draymond 45 minutes each. They're all going to be about 38 minutes at the most. So you are going to need some bench efforts, and I don't think Golden State has a great bench.
Regular season, no doubt a concern. In the playoffs, the bench, does it matter that much?
I think the bench plays a part, Joe. It really does in critical times, especially when KD and Steph are getting a rest and you don't have good bench players and then you have a deficit of 10 or whatever to overcome. Now those starters, when they come back in, they got to expend that much more energy to try to get that thing back. So yes, and you saw it last year, the Rockets, some of their bench players played a role in that when you didn't have, like Dibs was talking about, Iguodala. It was scary things because of the fact you didn't have certain guys that were, you look for role players to step up and play big for you. So
yeah, but by like game four in that series, the Rockets were done going to their bench. Do you remember that? They made like maybe one rotation, and they were riding their starters almost 45 minutes a night. You got to a certain point where those two teams know each other so well, which you probably would in a Toronto-Golden State series,
yeah,
that you can't afford to make those substitutions. Everyone knows the second player X checks in, we're going right at him and we're doing this, and then you have no choice but to remove him. And that happens to the Warriors as well.
And that's why Steve Kerr has done a phenomenal job. And everyone's like, why is he playing these guys? Steve Kerr understands how important the bench is. And that's why so many young guys and so many guys are just like, why does he do it in there? Steve Kerr plays him because he wants them to be ready for those minutes. You think about Cook and all those big time minutes that these guys have played in opportune times. You're like, what are they doing in there? And perform well. But Kerr's got them ready for that during the regular season. So that's why you see his bench. And he's not going to compromise, you know, these guys, KD and Steph and Clay and Dre, for this win on Thursday. It's not that important for those guys to go 37 and 35 minutes. He's going to keep it the same time because he understands he's going to need those guys later, because we knew how tired and how this is a long NBA season. So it's very imperative that he stays true to form. And with that being said, that goes to show you that this does tip the hand, whether Steph plays or not, for Toronto, especially at home, because of their bench is that much more better. That's why Mr. Dan Dibley wasn't necessarily jump on this thing, because and jump in this thing deep water with me, because it doesn't. That's why, in my opinion, too, it doesn't behoove Steph to play.
All right. Big news surrounding the Giants in the last 48 hours has been the John Morosi report. John Morosi, good friend of the show, also from the MLB Network and Fox Sports, that the Giants are open, essentially, to trading Madison Bumgarner, that they had had conversations with the Brewers and the Phillies recently, and that they had had a conversation in the past with the Braves. Now, John Morosi joined Greg Papenbonte Hill yesterday and talked about all this. So naturally, the conversation continues to ebb and flow back and forth, ping and pong, over Madison Bumgarner. Do you trade him? Do you not trade him? If you do, do you do it before the start of the season, or do you wait until the trade deadline? Morosi had something else in there that I didn't notice until a while ago when our producer Cody brought it to my attention, that I think is just as worthy of conversation, yet somehow didn't grab any headlines. Listen to what John Morosi had to say about the futures of both Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford.
I think Belt is interesting to watch, and I would pay very close attention to the Paul Goldschmidt market. With Goldschmidt, we've seen the Cardinals link to him a little bit. I would watch the Cardinals on Belt, depending on how things play out. I would say that Belt is not going to be their top priority, but if we get into early January or after the winter meetings, and if Harper's off the board and others are off the board, then I could see Belt becoming more of a secondary possibility. I think for the Cardinals in that type of a conversation, I could see even Crawford making some sense for them there. That would, of course, move Paul DeJong to third base. I think the Cardinals are an intriguing team to watch there with some potential interest in the Giants' bats.
Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford to the St. Louis Cardinals of all teams. Now, granted, quite a few years have passed since these two were going back and forth winning World Series, but the Cardinals of all teams to help out one of the great rivals in the National League, but at the benefit, if you can view it as that, of unloading the Brandon Belt contract. For those still possibly unfamiliar with the details, 3 years times $17.2 million per year remain on that deal. If you can unload it by any means necessary, are you unloading that thing?
Absolutely. That one, $51.6 million for Brandon Belt, a guy who has not been able to be healthy for an entire season. He showed flashes of 30 home run pop, but he's yet to deliver that. So you get to a point where, as a Giant organization, you know Buster Posey's a fixture, but you want to get him over to first base more often. You've tried Brandon Belt in the outfield, and it's been somewhat of a disaster. So at some point, you know Brandon Belt's going to have to get off of first base, and because you can't put him in the outfield, that means you got to send him elsewhere. The Crawford contract, which is 15.2 a year, 45.6, that's a contract that's a little bit more manageable considering what he gives you. So for me, if you can trade Brandon Belt, absolutely, whatever you can get back is great, but I would not trade Brandon Crawford.
See, that's the thing. Nobody wants to trade the great assets. Everyone wants to move the stuff that you don't like.
Of course.
Unfortunately, that's not how it works. Nope. Yeah, get rid of Belt. Yeah. The problem is you got to find someone who wants to take the contract. The Belt contract, when he signed it, 6 years, $75 million, that is extraordinarily valuable, in my opinion. People get caught up in the power numbers. Newsflash, look where he's hitting. If you put him in Yankee Stadium with the short porch, he's driving in 75 runs, he's hitting 20 home runs. That's what he's doing every single year with that lineup. And newsflash again, he won how many gold gloves in a row? Now, I know he missed this past season, but I think he finished second in the voting. You're going to get elite defense at one of the most, if not the most important defensive positions outside of catcher. And you got a guy who, if you give him a decent park, is going to give you some nice power numbers. Good clubhouse guy, leader, has won some World Series, very even-keeled, very mellow, knows how to deal with adversity, has been through it in the playoffs. That's a very, very valuable chip, in my opinion, for a team that feels it's on the cusp. St. Louis is not interested in rebuilding like the Giants are. They went out and grabbed Ozuna last year. They've got the pieces in place. They underperformed to an extent last season. They thought they were good enough to get to the playoffs. I picked them in the playoffs. It didn't end up working out. But if you have to attach Crawford to a Belt deal so you can unload that money, do it. You know how much cash you're going to free up over the next three seasons? If those two deals are gone, that's 83.
It's 100 million, basically.
It's 93.6 million dollars per year you cleared up. $93.6 million you clear up per year. Suddenly that opens up the door to a world of opportunity. A world of opportunity. And if you don't go out and spend big money on younger guys to bring in, like the Harpers of the world, so be it. So be it. That cash is just there for you to use 3 years down the road. Because at some point, the fans are going to go, all right, you haven't been spending the last couple of years. Now we want to see it. And boom, then you're going to have to deliver.
So if you do that and you make that move, do you bring in, you get the young, you get some young up-and-coming talent and bring them up? Or is it a player?
Prospects. High-end prospects, though. Okay. Not the guys in single A that are 19 years old and were signed out of the Dominican 3 years ago as like 16-year-old kids, and then they get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
Guys that are a little bit seasoned. Maybe they played in college. They've got a couple years under their belt in the minors. Guys that can get up here in a few years.
Okay, and so then with that,
no more of what? The Gary Brown situations? No more of this.
So would you, in the outfield and do on second base? So what would you, so then you kind of plug in guys?
Whatever. You're not going to win this year. You haven't been winning. So just go out there and continue not winning. I know it sounds crazy, but you've done a great job.
Get your payroll down. Just get average players
at a very high price the last few years. Try this. Try losing, but without spending as much money while stocking up your farm system. Imagine that. It might not be the most friendly product to watch on the field, but the Niners aren't friendly to watch on the field. The Raiders aren't friendly to watch on the field. The Bay Area's got the Warriors. You can't win them all. At some point, you got to reconstruct. So what we'll do is reconstruct this argument, try to figure out where the hell we're going to go next. And then the great Jim Barnett's going to join us at 8:30, plus details on how you can win a trip to Hawaii courtesy of your boys, Joe Lowe and Dibs. All that's next here on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors take on Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors tomorrow at 5.
Durant, one-on-one on Isaac, takes the jumper. Got it! Nailed it!
Tune into Warriors Live at 3:20 for your chance to win $900 on Warriors Trivia Takedown. Money. Only on the home of the NBA champs, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
One of the classiest gentlemen in the business, Jim Barnett, set to join us in 11 minutes. If you were to do a Mount Classmore of guests who joined this program, think about that for a second, and I'll get back to you on it because I'm very interested into who that would be. But for right now, just like last year, 95.7 The Game and Alaska Airlines, we are teaming up this basketball season to send you, and wait for it, three guests. You and three guests to Hawaii. It's the Hawaii for the Holidays getaway, courtesy of Alaska Airlines. The only thing you need to worry about right now is going to our website and registering. That's it. Go to 957thegame.com and register. Once you handle that, you're good. Until Monday. Starting Monday, December 3rd. Tune into your boys, Jello and Dibs. Billions of you do it every day. It's not going to be that difficult. And at 7:20 a.m., we will be announcing a name. The only names we can announce, though, are the ones that have registered. So if you don't register, you don't have a chance to hear your name called. If your name is called, you'll have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call us back and qualify for the trip. The winner will be announced 7:30 a.m. December 14th. Very exciting. Before we jump to this Niners-Seahawks game and then get to Barnett, Mount Classmore.
I just jotted down quickly.
Perhaps a drum roll?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Drum roll. I mean, that's a classy way to start this.
Sure, classy. Jim Barnett's absolutely on Mount Classmore. Why you make that face? I'm just curious. It's radio, so if you want to object, verbally would probably be better than that face you made.
See, here's the problem. We're talking about class, and we're acting without class.
Yeah, hello.
That's all of us. You can't make the face and then back away from the mic. It is a radio show. You can't get all worked up and start screaming at him.
Heat.
It is
I'm
a conversation about class.
Right.
Let's demonstrate a little
your
class.
List.
First rule of class being you tell people you have class. For those of you driving around, make it known that you have class and you have succeeded in achieving the first rule of class.
Let's start this over. Drum roll and continue.
I'll handle the buttons here, and I have already done the drum roll. Okay? Are you ready to make more faces or are you ready to participate?
This is classy.
Thank
right.
you. What was that?
This is classy.
Mm-hmm. John Morosi, Jim Barnett, Kurt Warner, and the classiest football player I've ever met, Jerry Rice.
Okay, Jerry Rice, Kurt Warner, Barnett, and John Morosi. What's interesting is if you are Greg Papa or Brian Baldinger or all these individuals who were left off Mount Classmore,
yeah.
you would be deemed what? Non-classy? Unclassy?
Just not in the top four. No, they could be classy. You just aren't Ooh. Among the classiest people to grace this fine show.
I mean, Matt Barrows is going to join us at 9:30. How do we explain the fact that he's not on Mount Classmore?
He's a good guy. I think he'd be the first to admit that he's maybe not as classy as those listed.
Wow.
Maybe I'll lead off the interview with that.
There's really no way to win this.
Other than to just continue to backpedal?
Yeah. No, but it's good. It's a bail technique, as
Thank
they call
you.
It in the NFL,
nice.
Right?
Isn't good job, Joe.
Absolutely.
By the way, Dibs, I did not get to talk to you about this last night. Greatest moment of my day yesterday. Uh-oh. And mind you, right around the corner, I've got big stuff coming. But greatest moment of my day. So I look down. I get a text message from none other than Lorenzo Neal Jr.
Oh,
Low.
Wow.
Little Low texted me yesterday. I got out of the shower before the thing. Getting ready, putting on the suit, look down at the phone, see that there's a missed text from Lowe Jr. So I'm just like, damn, what's going on? I hope everything's okay. Because we only talk generally after right. games. I wish him congratulations, stuff like that. And Lil Lowe tells me, you got to go to your Twitter DMs right now. I sent you something. So I'm just like, all right, this is probably going to be good. I hope it's not anything crazy.
This is my son, dude.
You know, we haven't been hacked. This is Lowe's son.
I never would have guessed from the context clues of Lorenzo Neal Jr.
So I slide in. And yesterday was, I believe, the 11-year anniversary of the death of Sean Taylor, the great safety from the Washington Redskins who played his college ball at the University of Miami, one of the all-time great players who was, you know, tragically murdered in his own home during a break-in. Little Lowe sends me a highlight of the Chargers running a toss sweep with Lowe leading the way for LaDainian Tomlinson, and Taylor comes running in and knows he's not going to be able to get through Lowe and get LT. It's an 11-man game, so do something to help the team. He blows Lowe up, blows him up, and then leaves LT completely naked and vulnerable out there to be tackled by the Redskin defense, which is exactly what happens. Now, I am not here to judge that play because Sean Taylor versus Lorenzo Neal is one of the all-time scariest collisions in NFL history.
Why are you bringing this up, then?
Both near Hall of Famers, quite frankly.
Because I meant to tell Dibs about it last night, and I forgot, and now
why
I figured
I'll
bring
it
out.
Why didn't you tell him off air? Why didn't you just tell him?
Because I'm sure that people will enjoy this.
And what's funny is I actually had somebody send me that very play. They added all of us on Twitter, and so I got a chance to see the play. And not only does Sean Taylor blow up the 255-pound Lorenzo Neal, but he strips LT in the process.
No, he doesn't. Did my foot hit the ball because I was flying in the air? So he didn't touch it. My leg.
So you actually get credit for the forced fumble on the play?
Now, I'll say this.
You guys.
You take a verbal beating on this show, and we've made lots of jokes, but when I responded to Little Lowe, outside of all these crying face emojis, after it, I told him, I go,
sellout.
You're probably too young to remember Sean Taylor, but Sean Taylor was an absolute freak. To be able to do that to your old man, there are a very small handful of individuals that could have made that play because they're both coming around the edge like that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really blow you up to the point where he lays you out. Right, like, there's a
you mean to now, if I may, your honors, your guys, your highness, can I?
You my guy.
Guys.
My
guys,
guy.
Guys. Okay, my guys. It's a sweet play. Our tackle didn't hold his block. So, Dibs, I'm running a sweep, running at an angle. So, I blocked the tackle's guy.
You got a piece of him.
If I don't get that piece, he comes off and it's a loss in the backfield because he's going to come off and make the tackle or he's going to get holding. So, I turn my body, make a block, chip the guy back on his guy.
Great chip.
As I turn around to get back going again, Shante, he comes and hit me at the side. It wasn't squared up.
That's
wasn't
true.
Nothing even close to being square. He hit me at an angle where I was going. And I didn't go back. We went to the side. He just
boom.
It was one of them. Boom. It was a boom.
It's like two trains. When they hit each other, they pop up in the air, and then they both go off in separate directions.
But it wasn't.
One doesn't go flying backwards, and the other goes straight
but
through.
But you got to admit,
they're
though,
going the same speed.
But you have to admit.
Train A leaves New York. Train B leaves L.A.
I'm running at an angle. You got to admit, that's how you got it. Okay? Be honest and watch
yeah.
it.
I told you flat out.
Yeah,
I
but
thought
just,
you did your job. You got the block. Not and, all blocks are beautiful pancake blocks. Not every inch of the Sistine Chapel is perfect.
Who won that game?
I don't know. I'm not looking at details.
Just one
like
play.
That.
I mean, it's been 11 years.
Okay,
one play
in a
vacuum.
Okay. We won the game. And you know what? You guys fail to realize the last play of the game, you know, we went overtime that game, right?
Against what? Patrick Dempsey from Tulane? Is that who was quarterback in the Redskins back then? Or was it Mark Brunell when he was 47?
Can I finish this? We won the game. The last play of the game,
whatever. It was overtime.
It was overtime, okay? And guess what they did? We ran power. Mm. And guess who was there? And guess who went 60-some yards off of a key block by who? Yes, me. We walked off.
You walked off the Redskins?
Walked them off. Go look and pull up the last play of the game.
You know,
walk
let's check
off.
That tape.
And who's leading the way? Take that.
Well, it's an 11-man game, as we discussed earlier.
Oh,
so
man, now I just ran on my...
You know what, though?
Can we go to suit something? I'm done with this.
We made the jokes, but I did say to Little Lowe, he finds it so funny, but I did say to him, I go, I mean, go back and watch a little Sean Taylor.
He loves it.
Matt Bowen, who's come on this show before, a friend of ours out of Chicago, was in the same defensive backfield. Him, Taylor, Fred Smoot, Champ Bailey.
He was a hell of a player, though. I respected him. That safety, rest in peace. Sean Taylor was a mean.
The only player he ever hit harder than you was that punter in the Pro Bowl.
Ooh,
when
who
he blew
was the
up,
one he got there?
Is that Brian Moorman, I believe?
Oh, my God.
That always sticks in my head, Brian Moorman.
I still find that to be...
The only player he hit hard to me. Was that
extraordinarily unnecessary.
Mine wasn't even a hard hit. Watch it again.
It was a pretty hard hit.
Was it?
And you listen to the
fact that you withstood it the way you did is a testament to you and your talent.
The announcer just loved it.
The announcers, they go over.
And Sean Taylor disposes of the 255-pound Lorenzo Neal.
That never happens to Lorenzo Neal.
See, now, I specifically told them not to play that. Just so you know. I have your back slightly in this conversation. I know I did start this whole thing because of a Twitter DM from your son, but have you talked to him about that?
We talked.
You can talk with hands next time you see him.
No. No check.
I lost
the stamps.
Oh. And Daddy doesn't know how Venmo works.
Exactly. No PayPal either.
I don't have Zelle.
Nope.
You're on your own.
Download the Cash App. Dad, I'm sending you the Cash App. All you do is download it.
He tells you how to send the money.
Yeah, of course. Ooh. Here, Dad, I'll send you the app, and all you do is open it, and boom, you have it on your phone. It's that easy. I won't do it. Can't do it.
Maybe you can find the app in Fortinball's Twitter DMs.
Exactly.
Like, in there so often.
That's exactly.
With all your emojis.
Tell Fortinball to send you the money. You and Joe, since y'all such buddies, adopt this black butt. Send him some money, Joe.
It was such a great just waking up to, you're not waking up, but coming out looking at the phone. Hey, you got to check your Twitter DMs. I was like, oh,
I get to the deal, and he's like, oh, look, we're at the party last night. Hey, Lo, how you doing, buddy? And all he reaches in his plane. Look, I'm going to show you.
First thing.
Yeah. First thing. Not how you doing, how you been.
Jody, how's it going? Lo, I got to show you something.
Yeah.
He goes, wait a minute, what is this? Laughing, I go, I'm in my Twitter DMs. And he goes, oh, I know what this is. He goes, Lo told me he sent this to you.
That's tough.
Just to put a bow on the conversation we were supposed to have before going to Jim Barnett, Niners 10-point dogs at Seattle this weekend. Are they Sean Taylor or are they Lorenzo Neal?
They're unfortunately Lorenzo Neal, and they're going to get hit, and they're going to go backward, much like Lowe did, and it's going to be a one-sided ball game, I'm afraid.
He got me. I'll admit it, so I'm not making excuses, text line. He got me. I'm not making excuses, 408.
You know what
that
was? That was good football. All jokes aside, that was really good football. Those were two really good players. If that tragically does not happen to Sean Taylor, he goes to the Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah. He was unbelievable. And for you and him, Hall of Fame talent yourself, that's a big-time collision right there. That's what football's about, though, right? Sometimes the bear
gets you.
And sometimes
you get the bear.
All right. Handling situations with class.
Man, you got
since
rocked.
2014.
I can't stop watching it now.
That was unnecessary.
You watch it? Did you really watch
it? You chip, and then, oh, sideways.
Thank you. Sideways.
Yeah, you were going forward, and then he hit you, and then you weren't going forward anymore. Anyway.
It's the old...
go ahead and favorite this tweet.
Immovable force, unstoppable force versus immovable object. We actually had the answer to that question now. The unstoppable force wins. Immovable object, though, close second.
Yeah.
Cool. Shout out immovable object. Jim Barnett is brought to you by Monterey Bay Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Visit MontereyBayCDJR.com for great special offers on new vehicles during the Black Friday sales event. Happening now at 555 Auto Center Drive in Watsonville. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jim Barnett joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Jim? How are you?
I'm doing well. Getting ready to drive to the airport because our plane leaves at 10 o'clock to go to Toronto. Start the longest trip of the year.
Is Toronto a fun road trip? All the places you get to go see. I remember talking to you about this before. You talked about Madison Square Garden and some of the legendary places. Do you guys like going to Toronto?
I think it's one of the great cities in the world. And I don't think, the major cities in Canada is a great place. And I still lament over not having the Vancouver Grizzlies. And now they're in Memphis. But everyone loved to go to Vancouver. And, of course, they were in the Western Conference, so we had to, we usually went up there twice every year, and it was really, really fun, and I'd like to see them get a team again. But Toronto's a big, big city, but it's beautiful, beautiful people, great restaurants, it's vibrant, it's a lot of fun.
You got me thinking about Sharif Abdul-Rahim as we go back to the...
Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
What a great player he was. Brief time at Cal, and of course, the Vancouver Grizzlies. Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Lowe, he was the big player. Jim Barnett here on 95.7 The Game.
Great tidbit.
When you go to Toronto, well, for those of us who have been around the association as long as Jim and I have, you hearken back to great players in a conversation such as this. And you go to Toronto now, Jim, and you look at a great city, but perhaps an even better team. What scares you the most about this new-look Toronto Raptors team?
Well, they've always been tough. The last few years, they've just never been able to, get out of the playoffs enough to get to the finals. And I think Kawhi Leonard makes them legitimate to do that. He brings not only scoring, but a great defensive mind. They've got all the tools there. They've got a lot of good players that can beat you. They've got experience. Kyle Lowry, sometimes he can be a little off, but he can also, I think he one time he got 40-41 against the Warriors. They've got muscle in the middle. They've got a kid named Siakam who gets better every year. And they're well coached. They've got the best record in the league. And they only lost two games at home this year. But, of course, I think they've only lost a couple games on the road as well. But it's going to be an interesting thing. And, of course, my expectation is I'm hoping Steph Curry will play. I know he's going to play on this road trip sometime. And Toronto, I was talking about this with Bob Fitzgerald the other day, that he's had these incredible games through the years against Toronto. And Bob informed me, and I didn't really realize it, I had not looked it up, but his average against opponents is the highest against Toronto than any other team in the NBA. And so I'm expecting that he will play up there. If he can play, next Saturday or next Monday, why can't he play on Thursday night? So I'm looking forward to that. We'll just see how it plays out, though. They're not going to rush him, obviously.
Yeah, I know Joe and Dibs are on the same. They kind of want Steph to play. And I'm kind of opposite that. I really don't want him to play, whether, rest this guy. I know he's ready. But Toronto, you give them hope. What makes them a elite team in your opinion? And do you think with Steph, I know he gives them a better opportunity to win, but do you still think they win this game if Steph plays, or is Toronto right now just playing at a higher level?
You have to go into, well, obviously they've been playing at a higher level than the Warriors without Draymond and without Steph. There's no question about that. The Warriors are on a nice little run now, having won these last three games, but they lost four before that. Toronto is just, they're off to a really good start. They're deep at every position. They know how to play. They've got experience. They've got Valanciunas in the middle, who can pass the ball, but he's also tough to keep off the board. So a good rebounding team. And it's going to be a challenge. But if Steph is ready to play, he's going to play. You don't think about, first of all, you always think you're going to win every game. I mean, there's no question about that. And so if he's ready, they're not going to hold him back, and they're not worried about losing and losing face against Toronto, or losing momentum or losing a psychological edge. Not at all. I just think that this is a high scoring team that shoots the ball extremely well, both inside and out, and they're a great defensive team. So they've got everything. I mean, they're potent offensively, but they're really good at the defensive end too. And they make it tough on you. And Kawhi Leonard has brought that little defensive toughness to them this year. And so it's going to be a challenge. But, the Warriors have had a lot of success up in Toronto through the years. And I'm just looking forward to it. You always think you're going to win, no matter what. No matter what game you're going into, you think you have to believe that you're going to win.
Jim Barnett joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Interesting start to the season. We're now about 20 games through for a lot of teams. The Warriors have had their ups and downs, but by and large, they look every bit the contender everyone thought they would be coming into the season. But the Clippers are on top of the West. Utah struggling out of the gates. Houston having a tough go of it. Boston having a tough go of it. Outside of Golden State, what do you think the biggest surprise of the young season has been to you so far?
Well, Memphis, who had the worst record in the league last year, has come on pretty well. Oklahoma City got to a bad, bad start, and then they whipped off about 9-10 games in a row. The West is really tough. The West is really crazy. And a great story is Sacramento, the team the Warriors just played recently. They are really going to be, in 2 years, they're going to be, to me, in 2 years, they're going to be a top five team in the NBA, Sacramento. How about that? That's a big surprise with me. New Orleans has struggled. That kind of surprised me a little bit. Houston struggled. So it's early in the season, but you could conceivably have several teams that are above 500 in the West and not make the playoffs. That's how tough the West is. And so, the Lakers up and down, erratic, as LeBron James was in yesterday's game, very, very erratic. But you can't count them out. They've got a good young group, and LeBron will come on when he needs to. But those are really good stories, and I think Milwaukee in the East, in whom the Warriors are going to be there on the five-game road trip, this will be the last one when they face Milwaukee. They've just come on, and all of a sudden they seem real legitimate. They've got two great guards in the backcourt to play defense, and they're tough offensively. And obviously Giannis Antetokounmpo still has struggles from the outside, but he gives them a lot coming down the court and stuff. It's a pretty exciting team. There are a lot of great stories, and Toronto, with the best record in the league, is a good story because everybody thought Boston was going to be the best team in the East and fighting with Philadelphia.
It sure looks like the playoffs in the East and the West are going to be a lot more compelling top to bottom than they were last year. Jim, when you look at this Warrior team, and you were talking about the Kings in the future, what do you see for the future of this Warrior team, particularly the youngsters, Bell, Looney, Damian Jones, even Jacob Evans? Do you see them progressing to where they can be rotation players in the next couple of years?
Yes, absolutely. I think Jordan Bell's experience with he's going to fit in. He's playing a few more minutes lately. I don't know enough about Jacob Evans right now. He's really struggling as a rookie, and that's to be expected with some players. Some players fit right in, and some players don't right away. Damian Jones has shown some signs. He's still inexperienced, and he's on kind of a learning curve. Obviously, it helps when he starts and plays with four all-stars when they're all healthy. But, you know, the Warriors are a long way off from having to worry about that, if you ask me, because Stephen Curry's 30, Kevin Durant's 30. They still, Draymond Green, younger, Klay Thompson, younger. They're still going to have this. And I know maybe what you're going to, maybe you're not. We'll wait and see what Kevin Durant does. But quite frankly, I think Kevin Durant's going to be around for a lot of years, too. And so despite what people may speculate, I think this team is going to stay together, and they're going to be, you know, the best team in the league for some years, and they're going to try to win more championships. It's as simple as that. This is still the integral part of the team, and are still have youth and have a lot of years left in them.
When you think about this Warrior team that you alluded to, and I listened to Steve Kerr last week, and he said, "Now we've been kind of a fairy tale. Now this is the real NBA." I think he wasn't even talking about Draymond and KD. He's just talking about now, this year, the real NBA. What does he mean by that? Is it level of competition? What was that mean? What did you take away from that statement?
Well, I took away that they were losing and struggling, and they hadn't had that. You know, they had these incredible winning streaks. You know, a few years back, they win the first 24 games of the year. Then another year, they win 73-9, and of course, didn't win the playoffs. That was 19 and 2016, and they did not win the finals that year. They lost after being up 3-1. And I think he's just saying, you know, he puts things in perspective. This is the Warriors are going to take some lumps right now, and they did. They, you know, lost 4 straight games. That's uncharted territory. That never happened with Steve Kerr. He's just has an incredible record, the best record ever in the history of the league with his winning percentage, and so he struck gold. And so with that, I think he's just talking about right now they're going through a tough spot. Key players are injured, and other teams are beating up on them a little bit, and it's made it very tough. I mean, they got a fire under them lit against Orlando a couple of nights ago when, you know, they're down by, 17 at half, and midway through that third quarter on a sloppy turnover, they're down 18, and they're going to go up. Going to be down 20, but Kevin Durant all of a sudden brings this energy and hustle, and he comes back and makes a block. If he doesn't make an effort to go block that shot, Orlando's going to be up by 20. Now, that changes a lot of things psychologically when you're out on the floor like that, especially when you're midway through that third quarter. So he makes the block, and all of a sudden the crowd gets into it. The energy, the hustle got him back in. They started playing defense. They ran off, I don't know what it was, 19-4 or 19-5, something in that nature. And then they came back and won the game. So now if they get everybody healthier, and I don't know when Draymond's coming back too. That's kind of a puzzling little thing with that foot. But I think there's a good chance that sometime on this road trip, I think you'll see Draymond because the Warriors are out for 10 days. But by the way, there's no back-to-back. It's nice. There's a day off after every game. So it's a road trip, and it's long. But there's plenty of time for rest and a little bit of practice also.
Former Golden State Warrior, now a tremendous analyst for the Golden State Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area. 95.7 The Game family member Jim Barnett with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jim, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for jumping on this morning. Safe travels on the roadie, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. You guys take care.
Jim Barnett, ladies and gentlemen. You know the song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco?
Yes.
I left my passport in Toronto.
Oh.
Yeah. One and only time I was there, I had such a good time. Oops. Never got a new one, so haven't left the country since.
And wow.
It was about good old-fashioned six or seven years ago.
And you lost your passport. You left it there, and it was at a hotel. Did you know where it was? Or
I was drinking.
Gotcha.
And no.
You realize that you only get one replacement passport in your life.
Hence why I have not cashed that ticket in yet.
Okay.
Because once I found that out, I said, you know what? I don't foresee any international travel coming up in the near future. I'll go ahead and wait.
Pace yourself on that
one. And
then
maybe some new administration will come along and change the laws, giving me an extra law somewhere down the road. Hasn't happened yet. Holding out hope now.
You're almost at your 10-year renewal.
I've gotten two. I've gotten a total.
Did you lose a passport? Is that what you're saying?
Well, someone broke into my car. You remember that. So,
law stolen.
Yeah.
So you got the replacement, but then that's the end of it, right?
That's it, yeah.
You can't lose it.
No, I lost the one before that.
Again, special treatment for our pro athletes here in America.
He actually did. They actually had SFO once. When we went to spring training, he shows up at the airport with nothing.
No idea.
And they let him go right through. He just smiled.
Yeah.
Which line did you pick to go through?
I picked a man of color. And we winked and, you know.
Nice. The old wink.
He showed up in Arizona that night. We were at the Brewers.
How you doing, man? It's your boy, Lil Neil. Hello,
I was good, Cuddy. Yeah, that's right.
Lil, how you been, man?
Right through.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Give him the up nod.
Yeah, we knew one another, and he's like, Lil, love your show and all that stuff. I loved watching you play. And it was a wrap.
It's amazing. We saw him there that night. Of course, didn't make it for the Brewers-Royals game, which was the agenda for Friday night.
Gotcha.
But was back at the hotel enjoying himself when we were ready to come back and meet him. But yeah, how did you get down here? It was such the amount of trouble this guy can create for himself because he finagled his way down there, but then you had to call D to send you ID so you could go back. He had no cash. The whole thing was a mess.
So the wink, wink, nod, nod doesn't work as well in Arizona.
No.
On the way back.
I already knew where I was staying, so I needed to be sent there. I knew I could get down. I just wanted it there if I wouldn't have to go through that.
Gotcha.
That's all.
Okay, question. Football question.
Yes, please.
Not a trick question. I'm going to give you the stats of player A and the stats of player B. Two football players who play the same position. At the end, I'm going to ask you which player you would choose. Again, not a trick question. You're going to have the accurate information presented to you. Player A has thrown 10 interceptions this year. Player B has thrown 9 interceptions this year. Player A is averaging 4.4 yards per carry. Player B is averaging 7.1 yards per carry. Player A has 2 rushing touchdowns. Player B has 3 rushing touchdowns. Based on that information, would you like player A or player B?
I would like player B, Joe. More yards per carry and
more rushing touchdowns, fewer interceptions.
Yes. Yes.
B.
Okay. You two have just been awarded Mitchell Trubisky. A round of applause. And you both just passed on Patrick Mahomes. It's from Barstool Big Cat. I thought it was hilarious yesterday.
That is hilarious.
Well, think about the stats he lays out for that. He takes 2 quarterbacks, but he gives you yards per rush and rush and touchdown.
That's why I was wondering if you were making a mistake, if it wasn't yards per pass. And
it's
so
the part in my take, guys. It's chaos as always.
It's great.
But I read that, and then it was like, oh, I wonder what this is. And then his next tweet is, player A, Patrick Mahomes, player B, Mitchell Trubisky.
It's just a classic case of cherry-picking stats for your own purposes.
You got to be numbers. Careful.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. Real facts. That's what you want. Got you covered. You don't want fake news, which is virtually everywhere else.
Yeah.
You want facts, hard-hitting data, and most importantly, like we talked about earlier, class, which we try to bring a touch of to the Bay Area each and every morning.
And Jim Barnett showed you in that interview just how much class he has.
Very classy.
Talking about, Canada and travel and all the things in the association.
Between Clay and Jim, a lot of positive sentiment towards the great country of Canada, our neighbors to the north.
Agree with Jim in that Vancouver should have an NBA city. It was great when the Grizzlies were up in Vancouver, but I thought they pulled the rug out from underneath them too soon on that one.
Would that work if you tried it again? Because you're not going to be able to do Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver. That's probably too much for the Pacific Northwest. So Vancouver, it's probably done forever, right? Because Seattle's coming back before anything else.
Yes, absolutely. And any BB other
was there back in the day in Vancouver. Remember when they was pretty. Mike Beebe was there in Vancouver.
Big country.
Yeah.
Big Country was the big ticket item for Vancouver.
So I dropped Sharif Abdul-Rahim, a guy who went to Cal, and you guys ridicule me, but now we can Mike Bibby it up when we're talking about Vancouver?
Sure.
That's how this works?
Different phase of the conversation. We're in a new quarter hour, so it's a restart.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Big Country,
You Brian remember Reeves. Big Country? Where's he? Yes. Where did he go to school?
He went to Oklahoma State. Big Country.
Big Country.
I coached a guy in Marin who was 6'7", and he resembled him. We called him Big County because he wasn't quite that's Big Country.
That's
Shout out Nick Hawley, my former middle blocker, Big County.
Okay. Also, one of the few places on Earth that really does make it a point to identify as the county in which you're from. You don't get that in most places. For example, I saw a thing on Jared Goff the other day, like ESPN. They were doing something on him, and it was like, you know, where you're from. People are from Chicago. People are from Milwaukee. They're from Miami. He's from Marin County.
Right.
That's that. You don't have that. You have Orange County, Marin County. What would be Mount County more? Are there two other counties that you throw out there? Broward County in Florida is the site of
very popular
every Florida man instance that ever takes place.
And, you know, Ireland is a place that is known for all of its counties, like County Cork and County Clare. All of the areas in Ireland are associated accordingly.
As well as their glens. Glen Moran, Glen Fittich, Glen Livet.
Right. There's Glendalough, which is out there as well in Ireland.
Levitts. That's
Scotland as well.
Good drink. Remember that back in the day.
Back when you were...
partaking. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get that old Glendalough. Oh, yeah. That
was and I last night were a sad sight drinking waters.
Wasn't we?
Two guys drinking water. Didn't even bother to throw a piece of fruit in there to try to make it look like
I was curious as to what was going on. I knew Lowe was going to be on team water. And, as you know, he was losing so much water, I had to keep giving him napkins because... Your boy was kvetching quite a bit, so
while, a lot of dancing out there.
While you were showing him DMs of him getting trucked, I was actually offering him napkins to try to help him out. I was a friend in need. I was a friend indeed. But you on Team Water, that one was definitely a curveball.
Birth is in 7 days. Can't afford to go out and have myself a good time and then get a phone call that the water broke early because, you know, those things don't wrap themselves up quickly.
Good point.
Despite the good people at UCSF Benioff who do tremendous work. I can't be rolling in there 13 deep like I like to.
And you guys are almost walking distance, so I mean, ideally, honey, you could just, I'll meet you there.
Right.
Go ahead and start walking. Head on down, honey. I'll meet you there.
I'll meet you there.
Let me know where the contraction's at
2 minutes apart. Let me know when to get to
I'm not trying to win husband of the year, but I'm also not trying to win worst husband of the year. A nice, cozy spot right in the middle, as we would say around here, is what I'm kind of aiming at.
Stuck in the middle.
Yeah. So water last night.
Water sucks.
No, it doesn't. Whoever decided to play that. It's actually healthy and refreshing and good for you and actually a very important commodity.
More than likely,
whoever hit that button is probably immature and young,
dehydrated.
You know, runs around and probably, you know, drinks cucumber water.
The youngest on the show.
Yeah water. Yeah. Who's anti-water?
Evidently, Steven, right?
Vladimir Putin, probably.
Henry Winkler and the water boy.
North Korea and nice guy Steven.
Yeah.
Your three anti-water individuals. Not good company to be in. Not good company to be in at all. The one thing fascinating about last night, too, and I run this by my wife, she thinks this is the most fascinating thing about me. You know how anti-people I am in general. Last night was another classic example. I find the table furthest away from everyone that is occupied by no one. Give it 11 minutes and that's where everyone is. Not trying to make the claim that I'm the life of the party because I most certainly am not, but that happens everywhere I go. I intentionally take the corner, the darkest areas to, you know, make sure I'm seen, but also don't really have to associate much. And yet, here comes everyone with their commentary. Mustache commentary, water commentary, sweaty fullback commentary, fullback getting knocked out commentary, dancing fullback commentary. I'm not interested in any of it, yet somehow stuck in the center of all of that.
Exactly. I was with you for a little bit at that table. We didn't talk, and then I walked away, and I did come back, and I saw that a number of people were there.
Everyone was there. They come up, they drop their purses on the table, like suddenly this is a coat check, which was right around the corner.
Yeah.
Had you wanted to use it?
Well, they know that you're going to be there. You're a trustworthy person, and they want to make sure their purses and things are there. And they see that you're not talking, so they come in, and you were just having a conversation with D. Bruce, and everyone wanted to come around you. Because
him, too. He shows up, he comes right for me. Hey, how's it going? Get out of here. I see you on Foreign Ball Fridays. That's enough. That's enough for the relationship.
Even though you don't like people, people love you. And
it's
that should tell you something.
My wife sees this everywhere.
Yes.
We would go out, groups of people.
Right.
She'd be socializing. I'd move to the side, watch TV, look at my phone, and sure enough, here come the conversations.
Because you're entertaining.
It's the whole thing.
No,
everyone thinks it's hard to get. It's not playing hard to get. I'm playing don't talk to me. That's the name of the game. And it's not personal.
I know.
It's but not
people like
personal.
Talking to you, even
keep
though you don't
the
like
sweaty
it.
Sweaty fullbacks on the other side of the room. I'll concede the entire dance floor to you. You can have it. Just give me my little strip of Portugal off to the side. You can have all of Europe. You can have all of Asia. Just give me Portugal. Is that too much to ask for?
I don't think so, Joe, which is why I left you alone. I left you alone.
Mike gets it.
My favorite thing.
He moves on with his knife.
Yeah, I should have known.
Yeah, you should have known. And you know what else? You should have known that I was going to be there for you as you were completely sweating before you were even dancing. And I went over and got you multiple
How does a man sweat that much? Is what
high blood
like
pressure.
To know.
High blood pressure.
It's blood pressure.
Yeah, probably so. You know what?
Because it's coming out of everywhere. Yeah. It's just...
It
really is like a superhero. Okay. A superhero that was made of water.
Sweat man.
You act like you guys weren't hot.
The latest edition of Sweat Man.
Oh, yeah.
Complete
like
with grilled cheese forehead.
Dibs, you were hot.
We can get that
Joe,
action
you
figure
hot.
Made. I'm
you guys both were hot. And people were walking outside. The place was hot. And you know the doors was open. And the other people were sweating besides me.
I was outside on the patio enjoying the evening
this,
mist.
Okay?
All I'm saying.
Mist on this. Because you know, just as well as I know, it was hot out in there. Put it, I'm the only one.
In the words of Nelly.
Yes.
Hot in. My favorite thing at those functions is. You talk to somebody, and then somebody of more import comes in, and the conversation just ends, and they rush over to talk to the boss.
All right.
And then the boss's boss comes in, and then that person leaves and talks to the other boss.
The boss's boss is the worst person on earth to have a conversation with. Not because the person is not a good conversationalist. And Larkin, you know what I'm talking about. You, I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat this.
Wow.
Problem is, she's in such high demand that you don't want that conversation. Because if you're in it, you can't get more than two sentences.
And someone's coming over.
Or some bulldozer wants to get in there and suck up. Or some other freight train wants to storm in and make a comment. I never even asked for the conversation to begin with. Again, nothing personal. But once it starts, let it at least follow its natural 3 to 4 minute evolutionary discourse. And then we can all go our separate ways. But yet. And then you stand there. You look like an idiot because you're the third wheel while the other two are talking. But you can't walk away because then that's deemed rude. And you don't want to jump in on the other conversation because now you're stuck with this jabroni. And now it could be a three-way thing that she ends up leaving and then you're stuck with the person that butted in to begin with. And you don't want that conversation at all.
Well said. I got stuck with
Daniel. This is my life.
I got stuck with... I'm talking to Susan.
Well said. I've been going through this for 37.11 years.
And he comes in...
Happy birthday, by the way.
11 twelfths.
You came in just hot. I was talking to Sue and you just came in and it was just dripping. I mean, me and you, I just, and it just was dripping off your mouth like butter. I was like, oh my goodness.
God,
it was getting
out.
Hot. Yeah. It's getting hot in here. Because you was actually all over. I'm having a conversation with
Was
Susan.
He just trying to associate?
Oh my God.
Was there more here than meets the eye?
I think it was a little more.
You were trying to talk to her about how you felt you were being sexually harassed, which most found to be wildly off base. Yet you were throwing around accusations. She didn't know how to deal with that. And then you're claiming Dibs somehow ended up in that conversation.
I was simply...
Was Dibs harassing you?
I was continuing a conversation that I started with Sue Larkin, when I showed up on time to the function. And because Lorenzo was an hour late, he felt like he had to make up for lost time, which is partly why he was sweating so much, I would imagine. So, you're welcome. I guess I learned my lesson about helping you out.
I was just
getting you napkins so you can dab at your forehead.
Why not a towel? The bartenders probably had a nice towel for him.
Yeah, he
napkins
could use
were the extent of it.
A bed sheet. Yeah, seriously, you should have gone headband.
Sitting there, Joe.
Sweatbands, headband.
Hold on, we gotta try to salvage the segment. Did the Niners have any chance at Seattle this weekend, catching 10, or in general?
Probably not.
See, we're talking sports.
The same chance that Lo has of making it through a cocktail party without kvetching all over everyone, which is to say,
you
not a shot.
To dance. You see, Lo serves a very important purpose at these parties. In the Joe Low Dibs dynamic, the low portion is the most in-demand portion by a long shot.
It's not
shot.
Even close.
So what you can do is kind of let him attract all of that energy and attention. He'll dance. He puts on a great show. He knows how to work a room like nobody else knows how to work
Daniel
a room like
can
that.
Work a
you
room.
You and Johnny Carson.
Wait, Daniel
Dibs
works
is not
the,
on the Mount Johnny Carson.
Oh, I strongly disagree.
Johnny Carson, you,
I think you're
Sinatra.
Great. I'm just going to tell you, I think you're great.
Guy's over in the corner by himself.
Younger
he's going to tell
Bush.
Me I don't know how to work a room.
Right. You work a room like nobody.
I'll say this, though.
You're very personable.
It wasn't designed to be a dance party. So the fact that you immediately started dancing was more of an obstacle for the rest of us than it was a benefit.
For one, I think someone just moved one table.
For yeah, one, I right. didn't start dancing. Two, I didn't walk in and start dancing. I was having a conversation, like I was saying, and you came in with Sue and just said, oh, that's all great. I'm like, Dibs, please take a deep breath. That conversation I was having in Matt, and he came in just all over. But anywho,
well,
the
I
dancing,
regret to inform you
I was
that
not,
we,
I did not start
we
dancing.
Have reached our conclusion on this one. So if anyone's still out there, thank you so much for indulging whatever it was that was that just came your way. We do promise if you still are out there, we'll have sports for you next here at 95.7 The Game.
95.7 The Game and Alaska Airlines present the Hawaii for the Holidays Getaway. All you have to do is go to 95.7thegame.com right now and register. Starting Monday, Joe Lowentibs will call out one of the registered names at 7:20 a.m. If you hear your name, call back within 9 minutes and 57 seconds to qualify. It's the Hawaii for the Holidays Getaway, courtesy of Alaska Airlines, with nonstop flights from the Bay Area to Hawaii. Visit them today at alaskaair.com.